Part 7, The Earth and the Moon. 1, Journey to the Moon, Part 1. Whenever I look at the moon, I wish I could go there. Do you ever wish that you could take a trip to the moon? For hundreds of years, men have wanted to travel to the moon. Whenever they looked at the moon, they asked questions. Is the moon hot or cold? Do people live there? Are there any plants or living things there? There were many, many arguments. Some people said that there were living plants on the moon. Others said that nothing could live there because there is no water on the moon. These people could not agree. When we look at the moon through a telescope, we can see lines and circles. People used to say that this was the moon's face, and that there was a man in the moon. You may have seen drawings like this in storybooks for young children. This is nonsense, of course. There is no man in the moon. The lines and circles are mountains, valleys, and deep holes. There are also plains where the ground is quite flat. We know a great many facts about the moon now. Scientists have studied the moon through telescopes for many years and have discovered many facts. Recently, not very long ago, rockets with men inside them have reached the moon. What do we know about the moon? First of all, if we compare the moon with the Earth, we find that the moon is much smaller. It is about one quarter the size of the Earth. It is traveling around the Earth. Days and nights on the moon are very long. One day on the moon is as long as 2 weeks on the Earth. One night is also as long as 2 weeks on the Earth. In the daytime, the moon is very hot, 120 degrees centigrade. The nights are very cold, minus 156 degrees centigrade. This is very cold indeed. A man on the moon would quickly freeze to death in the nighttime if he did not wear special clothes. In the daytime, it would be too hot to live without special clothes. The moon is much hotter and much colder than the Earth. There is another surprising thing. On the moon, things are not as heavy as they are on the Earth. Something that weighs 1 kilogram on the Earth would weigh only 166 grams on the moon. Did you know that? Perhaps one day in the future, anyone will be able to take a trip to the moon, just like going on a train or bus journey. What an adventure that would be! 2. Journey to the Moon, Part 2. Let us pretend that you and I are going to the moon. We have paid our fare and we have our tickets. We have climbed the rocket, rather like going aboard a ship. You are lying down, and so am I. We have to lie down at first because the rocket will increase speed very quickly. The captain counts. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff. There is a sudden roar when the engines are switched on. Then the great rocket begins to rise, slowly at first, then faster and faster. We are glad that we are lying down, because something seems to be holding us. I cannot move, and neither can you. This lasts for about 12 minutes. Then we reach our highest speed, which is about 40,000 kilometers per hour. We are on our way to the moon. Now I can stand up and move about, and so can you. Eagerly we run to the windows for our first look at space. What a surprise! The sky is not blue now, it is dark. We can see stars all round us. What is that big shining ball in the sky? It is our Earth, looking like a very big moon. We look down at the Earth where all our friends are living, and we feel a little lonely. The moon is also in sight, but it is getting bigger all the time. At last we arrive at the moon and sink slowly down until our rocket ship is standing on the moon. We are eager to go outside, but first we must put on our special clothes. Then we climb down the ladder and step onto the moon. Our feet sink into the ground a little, and we see that we are walking on a kind of powder. The moon is covered with dust. There is no air on the moon, so there is no wind to blow the dust about. There is no noise. We are walking in complete silence. Sounds can only travel through the air. There is no noise because there is no air. We walk along silently. Then I see a piece of rock, and I jump over it, and so do you. We find that we have jumped several feet into the air. We have forgotten that we do not weigh much on the moon. Jumping is easy. We walk around the holes on the ground, and we walk up some of the hills, but we soon become tired of that. Everywhere looks the same. There are no trees or grass, birds or animals. The moon is a dead place. We are glad that we shall soon return to our Earth. 3. The awesome force that shaped our planet. When the concept of plate tectonics involving continental drift first took shape during the past 15 years, no one foresaw that it would soon rank as one of the most far-reaching scientific discoveries of all time. Its original purpose was simple: to explain how it was that, if placed next to each other, the Atlantic shores of Africa and South America, and of the United States and Northwest Africa, would fit together like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. Once having solved that mystery, the tectonic mechanism, it has now been too well confirmed to call it a theory, went on to explain practically every other major phenomenon that has puzzled geologists for centuries. How the continents, ocean basins, mountains and islands were formed, the reason for volcanoes and earthquakes, why marine fossils are embedded in the highest peaks. Briefly described, the tectonic mechanism works this way. The crust of our planet consists of about 8 large plates and more than a dozen smaller ones, which float on the surface of the hot mantle, traveling across it in various directions like conveyor belts, at geologically wild speeds of from 1/2 inch to 6 inches a year. At the junctures where the plates separate, collide, or shear against each other, upheavals occur which cause earthquakes. What propels the plates is not known for sure. Some scientists believe the force is generated by convection currents in the mantle, which circulate like water in a boiling pot. What happens when the plates run into each other depends on whether they carry oceans or continents on their backs. When two oceanic plates collide, one is forced under the leading edge of the other, producing a trench. As the crustal slab of rock sinks into the mantle and heats to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, it melts, pressure builds, and some of the intensely hot lava erupts into a line of undersea volcanoes. If the eruptions continue long enough, the lava eventually rises above sea level to form an island arc. The islands of the Eastern Caribbean, the Aleutians, Philippines, and East Indies are all examples. When a land plate, mostly granite, moving in one direction, meets an ocean plate, dense basalt, going the other way, the more buoyant land plate rides above the submerged ocean plate like a titanic bulldozer, scraping up sediments deposited on the seabed over millions of years, along with slices of the crustal rock itself. The debris piles up along the edge of the land to form long folded mountain ranges, like rumpled blankets pushed aside. Meanwhile, the descending ocean plate begins to melt as it plunges into the mantle and erupts to the surface in the form of volcanoes, thus building a second range of mountains inland from the coastal range. Most spectacular of all is what happens when two continents collide. Since they have the same buoyancy, and neither can sink beneath the other, their edges pile up into stupendous jagged masses. The Alps were formed this way when Africa bashed into Europe 130 million years ago. And the Himalayas arose when India rammed into the belly of Asia 80 million years later. Thus, all of the Earth's mountains, and perhaps the continents themselves, were created by collisions of crustal plates, and are largely composed of material that originated on the ocean floor. Interesting developments also occur when plates diverge in mid-ocean. Seawater, heated to the boiling point by the upwelling lava, dissolves minerals from the still plastic crust and precipitates them across the sea floor in the form of metalliferous deposits. As the sea floor spreads, the ore is eventually carried across the ocean and down into the trenches to be melted and deposited on land by volcanic action. This is why most metal deposits are found in mountains or in the adjoining valleys into which they have been washed down.
听力课堂，欢迎你。
听力课堂，欢迎你。
听啊，讲啊。